Hi, everybody. Such an honor to be on a panel with your organization doing such amazing work. I'm Dana, and I'm with the Coalition to Save the Libraries in Philadelphia. And usually when we introduce ourselves in meetings and stuff, we usually say what library branch we're from. That'll come up more. So I live in Southwest Philly, and I'm around the King's Hussing branch.
Hey, I'm Sherry, and I live in the Ogance area, and I'm with the Cohen Ogance branch.
Hi, I'm Betty, and I'm from South Philly, with my library is Queen Mamour.
Okay. And I'm just going to quickly introduce, just give a little summary of some of what the Coalition to Save Libraries has done, and then we're each going to go and very quickly just say how we personally got involved, what our role has been, and what has been most inspiring to us about the Coalition. The Coalition to Save, so in November of 2008, Mayor Nutter, Philadelphia's mayor, announced that he wanted to cut, well, him in conjunction with Siobhan Reardon, who is the executive director of the library, that they wanted to cut 11 libraries in Philadelphia, and because of, with the reason being budgets.
Closing.
That they wanted to close 11 libraries in Philadelphia in different neighborhoods throughout Philadelphia. And there was just a huge response to this. There was really, like, many of the communities, pretty much most of the communities where these libraries were being closed, people rose up, people had rallies. Some of the libraries had friends groups, and those groups had rallies, had protests. There were larger protests and so there was just like a real groundswell that just came very much from all the different communities in Philadelphia. The plan was that there's an idea that we have too many libraries, that we could all have libraries within 2 miles, and that should be good enough, and that they would focus more money and more energy on their, like, regional libraries, that they wanted big, fancy, pretty libraries. Not that we don't want our libraries to be fancy and pretty, too, but, and cut all these neighborhood branches. And so people really rose up, and there was a lot of press around it. There was a big response, and then that response was so large that Mayor Nutter realized that he had to do something about it, and so he organized these town hall meetings in different communities to say, this is what I've done, it's done, this is what's happening, but I want to give, like, the appearance that I'm listening to you. And so those meetings were attended. The one that in my neighborhood had over 500 folks come from the community. People stayed and they spoke and they testified. They explained why 2 miles in their neighborhood was not doable. They connected it to larger issues. We all connected it to larger issues about our neighborhoods, which have already been underfunded, under resources, that the libraries are this one public space that we have. They tried to. So it's kind of, through that effort and that energy, some of the Friends groups met together, and that's a nonprofit organization, the Friends of the Free Library, and they have Friends groups in most of the libraries. They met together and they sort of quickly realized that through a nonprofit, they wouldn't really be able to do the kind of work that would be needed, the kind of organizing work. There was a potential of a lawsuit against the mayor. And they realized that they couldn't do that through being the Friends of the Free Library. So it was sort of facilitated by some organizers of getting these folks together from all these different, from these 11 different branches to meet to think about what they could do outside of that nonprofit context. And y'all can jump in if you want. So from there, folks met. And really, in some ways, I feel like we should thank the mayor, because these communities have been struggling for so long anyway, but in Philly it's really hard, and like in a lot of cities, like, folks are kind of isolated in their neighborhoods, so there were a lot of different things going on in these different neighborhoods, but he really chose to attack us in a way that was so offensive and so obvious that it just brought people out and brought us all together as well.
Yes,
it did. So folks started meeting together, they opened it up for a larger group of people to help, a lot of us jumped on board to help. at that time, we it just people really just came out from all different parts of the neighborhoods of the of Philly, and brought whatever skills they sort of had to it, and some of which was. I think what happened was a son of a lawyer was involved, and he said to his dad, who had been a public interest lawyer for a long time, we need to do this lawsuit. Sherry is also an attorney, and we still love her, and she and she went in on the lawsuit. The Coalition to Save the Libraries was...
That's where it started. That's how it got started.
And we started sort of like organizing all of this resistance that was going on throughout the city. We helped get plaintiffs for the lawsuit in all the different neighborhoods. At the same time as running the lawsuit, we ran the People's Campaign, the People's Court, to get things out into the public that maybe wouldn't happen in a court of law, to make sure that we got the indictment from the court by doing an indictment ourselves. I have some text of our indictment, which was written by a teacher in Philadelphia who was really involved. And so we were really prepared also to maybe escalate our tactics if we didn't get the indictment. The libraries were slated to close on the 31st of December, and we had planned an event, a New Year's Eve celebration in one of the libraries where we would stay and occupy the library if this were to happen, if we didn't get the indictment.
Injunction.
But we did get the injunction, which was a huge deal, a huge success. The mayor was told, and Sherry can talk a little more about that, about the legal issues, but was told that he could not. We also lobbied our city council, and some council members brought their own lawsuit in conjunction with ours. He was told that he couldn't close the libraries, and that, and sorry, so much happened.
I know you're sorry.
That was awesome. It was exciting. We had a celebration instead of a sit-in. And really just that inspired people from all over Philadelphia. We like to talk about also how, like, the Phillies won the World Series, Obama won the presidency, like, and then we won the library campaign. Like, Philadelphians are starting to feel like we can win something, like, which was amazing and new and different. So we did win that. There was a possibility of an appeal, but we really pushed to make sure that we stayed with it and kept organizing. We organized a I Love My Library event at 7 of the 11 branches to, and had, you know, kids and adults write Valentines and send them to the mayor and to Siobhan Reardon. We really just, like, kept the pressure on and kept really building our communities. And it's still on.
It's still on.
Still on. So then, so this was, like, a huge success. And of course, through doing this, we also look at these larger issues and realize the same as your group did, that it's not enough just to win a campaign to save the libraries. It's bigger than that, and that you know, we want to be part of a movement. And also that in order for the library win to really be sustainable, we have to address this issue right now of the economic crisis, the budget, all these things which are being used as ways to cut our services, privatize public spaces. And so we joined with groups from all over the city. Do you know how many groups?
Over 30.
No, over 30 groups from all over the city in the Coalition for Essential Services. We sort of infiltrated these budget hearings that happened to these budget meetings. To say that we don't want any of our essential services cut. We want different revenue options that didn't involve cuts, huge cuts to the poor, taxing the poor. Tax the rich was sometimes chanted at different community events spontaneously. And this fight really continues. But I won't get into all that. But at the same time, some of our other wins are that we have revitalized a lot of library groups in different neighborhoods, people just really taking an interest, becoming, like, politicized and more involved in communities. There's other community groups that have sort of sprung up, and this is all just since really December. right? The Coalition to Save the Library. But the Coalition to Save the Library is just
started in December, yes.
In December. So a lot's happened, a lot more will happen. We can't really get into all of it. Oh, and just another important thing in thinking about education and justice, since we're on that, is also that, so they said, oh, well, 2 miles, that's fine, you have your schools, and then it came out that our schools don't even have libraries, most of them. They were using these libraries as their libraries, so. So, Patty is this was our indictment, the people's indictment to Mayor Nutter.
I'm just going to read the last part. Mayor Nutter, we see where you stand. It's not with the people of Philadelphia. It's not with the community of the Coeing, Ogun's Library, nor with the community of the Durham Library, nor with the community of Eastwood Library, nor with the Fishtown, nor with Fumo, nor with Paddington or Holmesburg. You are not standing with Kensington or Logan. You, Mayor Nutter, do not stand with the community of Queen Memorial or Wadsworth. Because you do not stand with the people, because you are closing 11 of our beloved libraries, we are hereby indicting you on these charges. Number one, abandon the minds of children. Two, promoting illiteracy. Three, eliminating safe havens for kids. Four, encouraging street violence. Five, increasing joblessness. Six, expanding the digital divide, creating neighborhood blight, making a book an endangered species, targeting low-income communities, violating the public trust, ignoring the people's will. That's why these charges were for our And we did it in front of City Hall, and it was a beautiful occasion. How we all stood around and did what we had to do is to encourage this as a form of protest. We enjoyed it, and then we took them to court. Right? Then we took the city to court, and as Dana said, and we won. So that gave us that fire to keep on. We don't stop now. But that's why from that group we formed another group now. So we have more groups to fight for more people, but it stemmed from our fire that was within us to save the libraries. We're called the Coalition to Save the Libraries, and that's how I got involved, because Queen Memorial is my library. He wanted to close that, and I got a call from Amy Dockery, the Friends of the Free Library. She didn't have anybody from South Philadelphia to represent. And she asked me, would I represent Queen Memorial? I said, surely I would represent Queen Memorial Library, because I see the need for the libraries to stay open. So then the fire jumped in me, and then I began to, me and one of the friends, we became partners. We formed a meeting, about 40 people came. It was on a Monday. And on a Saturday, we had a rally in front of the library. I guess about 40 or 50 people came then. We had clergy, community people, and Amy Darker. They all spoke. So that was a good affair. And then we had more meetings. And from that meeting, we began to meet at the public library with Amy Dockery. We had a formal meeting. I don't know dates. I just know what we did, okay? Because things happen the day I forget. So anyway, we had this meeting from the library. And it was a public meeting. We had black clergy and a lot of other public people were speaking. So we got together. And we all did petitions, so we marched up to City Hall to present Mayor Nutter the petitions, but he was at the Army and Navy gang. My. So we did go and do that, so that led us to go from, where did we go from there now? I forgot what we did from there. After we did that, we went back to meeting again, and like Dana said, things couldn't be done through the By the friends being a nonprofit, they could not go too far. So we formed the coalition, and we took it far as we can go. We're still taking it far as we can go too. As I say, we formed another coalition, but that's another story. So right now, that's what I did, and that's how I got involved with the with the Coalition State of Libraries so far. Oh, and what inspired me was myself. I inspired myself because I inspired myself to now I know that things can be done. You just need to focus and get rid of the, you know, a lot of people say you can't, most people are afraid or fear of the city, of government, right? There ain't no fear in government. They're people just like we are people. So that came into my, my gut, and I began to say, oh, we can do this thing, we can do this thing. And then, you know, by meeting with the guys and gals, we all formed, yes, we can. So out of that, I became the Friends, I'm the chairperson for the Friends of the Queen Memorial Library. Now that, we have been meeting and we have been having fundraisers, and we have one fundraiser after another fundraiser. So we just want to keep the ball rolling and let people know that who are the government? We are the government, not the government itself. We, because government makes up people. So we can wake up our communities to let them know to get rid of the fear, like you guys did with your project. Beautiful. Oh, I recommend you. I really, really, really nice. So that's what we got to do. We got to rally. We got to make some. My slogan now is, make some noise. And you will be heard. And you will be seen. Yes. I feel so good what we have done and what we're still doing, because I got the call in November for a meeting, and I've been meeting ever since. Since November the 17th, I've been meeting.
Sometimes I have. 3 times a week.
Yes, to the big group and to the subgroups. I've been meeting because I'm hungry now. I want some more. So if I'm not, I don't want anybody to tell me. I want to be there so I can get it from my ear, through my ears and eyes. You know what I mean? So it's just been wonderful. Been really wonderful. We can do it. Yes, we can. Sherry, you got something?
Okay, I got involved in my neighborhood library and the struggle to save the library as soon as it was announced, you know, that the mayor wanted to close the library. But this library, like a lot of our community institutions, if we know our history, a lot of the libraries in the city were created from popular struggle. It was because the people were demanding more services and resources. So my particular library came about from a political struggle that lasted 36 years, that my neighborhood had wanted a library. And they were always told, oh, no, you don't need a library, or are the people in your community really going to use a library? We don't have money. And it just went back and forth. Sometimes the money was put in the budget, but the mayor wouldn't spend it. Other times it wouldn't get put in the budget. So, and the community did petitions and rallies and had a bookmobile, all that, you know, for 36 years. So, the library opened in 97. And when the mayor announced he's going to close his library, so after 36 years of fighting for this library, you think, you know, through so many mayors, the fight was through so many mayors. You know, you, Mr. current mayor, Michael Nutter, you think you're going to close this library after all the struggle? No way. So I was, and the people in my area were determined, you know, this library, none of the libraries were going to be closed. So I was a member of my local friends group, which is a group that, does fundraisers. We try to provide more resources to the libraries. And we do a lot of community events, bringing people into the community, from the community into the library, and extra programs for kids. So my role has been as an activist for my branch, and then in the overall citywide coalition. And then I'm also an attorney. So a number of us were talking from the beginning, like, you know, what can we, you know, it has to be something legal we can do. And it turns out there was a law in the books from about 20 years ago that hadn't been used since it was put on the books. And it said, it was a fight 20 years ago when the mayor at that time was trying to close firehouses. So some people on city council said, hey, how can we stop the mayor from closing things? We're going to put a bill that says the mayor can't close public buildings without city council approval. But a lot of people thought, well, that law's not valid, you know, because the mayor has so much power. We have a strong mayor system in Philly. I don't know what's here, but they always talk the same. How much power the mayor has, you know. So the mayor didn't like that he's supposed to go through city council before closing buildings. So everyone's saying, oh, nobody's going to pay attention to that law anyway. That's not even valid. Like, it wouldn't stand up in a court of law, they were saying. Well, we said, why not? So so we filed this lawsuit, and based on this law, because even though we thought closing the libraries is totally immoral and wrong, we had to have a legal hook. You know, why is it illegal to close the library? And then we found this law, and it was like, okay, this is it. This is it. And fortunately, you know, the judge agreed, because we didn't know. Maybe she would think, oh, no, city council shouldn't pass this law. It's a strong mayor system. The mayor has total authority to do whatever he wants. So, and then I guess what's most inspiring for me was just the determination that is great to see in groups like Baltimore Algebra Project and in the people of Philly on this issue. It was just a determination like, you are not going to close our libraries. And we are going to do everything we can. And in the coalition, what inspired me the most was how deep the conviction was of everyone who got involved. You know, like, we are united in that we are not going to just be told by you, you know, what our communities are going to look like and what resources we're going to have. So we said no, and it's been really powerful, and we're going to keep going. We have. You know, we suffered a cutback, a financial cutback, even though we kept the libraries open. So a lot of staff were transferred out of the libraries, and now we have these rolling closures that on any given day you can go to your branch and it's not open. You know, so we're trying to do things to get that funding restored to the libraries, and then through the Coalition for Essential Services to get other funding restored to other services that were cut in November by the mayor. Mm-hmm. So...
And Sherry would be. And Sherry's library would be dear to her heart because it's named after her father.
Yeah, he was one of the people fighting for 36 years from the beginning to establish it.
And I'll just quickly say that I was really inspired by the town hall meetings by hearing all my neighbors saying how important this was to them and why. And for me, I only moved to Philadelphia a year and a half ago.
You just found me?
Mm-hmm. So I represent that crew in the coalition of, like, folks who are, like, new to the neighborhood and, like, thinking about my role in Philly and how to be, like, how to build relationships in my community. And so this was just such a great... a great way to do it was to just really, like, hear from, like, my neighbors that this is what was important to them, and it's also important to me. And then,
I was just wondering, like, it seems like a really, what you've identified here is that libraries really aren't as bygone as some people seem to be, and that they can be sort of centers of activism and neighborhood support. So I was just sort of wondering, like, whether, and I know it's tough, like, if Michael Nutter is basically cutting everything right now, whether there's a place for that to expand, to build more libraries, to expand to Delaware. I'm living in Delaware County right now. I know Chester has no library and needs one badly, you know. And, like, whether the Coalition for Essential Services is looking towards that road for development.
You mean outside Philly?
Yeah, outside Philly, in Delaware County and the surrounding counties.
If anyone wants to call us.
We broke up into working groups really fast, and that's how we got a lot of our work done. So that outreach group has been thinking about national outreach and how to, like, show, how to somehow document what we've done and show it as an organizing model and give that support to other communities who want to do similar work.
I just have two comments. One is, you were talking about that law from 20 years ago that you found, and earlier today, another amazing session like this one, Professor Zach Wolf of GW, George Washington, was talking, and he said that no legal victories come without social movements. So the fact that you found the law was something, but the fact that you had 500 people turn out, that has an influence on the legal system.
Yes.
And secondly, that you've formed new organizations in order to lobby. But I just wanted to say that my understanding is that that might have been strategic, but as a 501c3, you can lobby, you just call it educating. So people don't have to, people know there's probably a lot of people doing 501c3 work here. Just because you can go educate your city council members, all that you can't do is spend 20% of your total budget doing that, and you can't advocate for one candidate versus another. But outside of that, like the Baltimore Algebra Project can turn out 500 students every day. You just can't spend more than 20% of your budget as a 501c3. So there's a lot of leeway if folks
right,
don't scare folks off of pushing their councils.
I think part of it, too, is that this nonprofit is kind of top-down, and we really want to do it from the bottom up in our organization as well.
Also, I just want to say we're fortunate that we have a lot of other members of our coalition here. So if others want to answer or respond, please join in.
My question is actually kind of a follow-up to that. I was wondering if you could detail a little bit more the process of sort of using the organizing base that the Friends of the Library's organizations provided, and then sort of transitioning that into a structure that wasn't a traditional nonprofit, that wasn't a nonprofit. If you could just give a little bit more detail on that, I'd be really curious to hear.
Good day. I have no organizational memory. Or Aaliyah could talk about
it. Maybe Betty could be a friend of
Friends. I was doing outreach at that time, and basically we got the like numbers of all the different friends groups, and this was right before Christmas, and we were really frantic because we had 2 weeks, and we just called everybody we possibly could and invited them to the next meeting. And that's pretty much what happened, was everybody who showed up at the next meeting, we sort of, you know, we went from being a group of what was that? We were like, it was like 9 people and then 60
yeah.
people and then like 300
yeah.
people. It was pretty much just like, you know, making a lot of phone calls and then seeing who showed up
and
then working with who
showed up. The friends groups were willing to share their...
We weren't inviting people as friends groups. We were just saying, hey, do you care about the libraries? Do you want to come to this meeting to save the libraries? Because at that time we didn't, or did you want to?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. What happened was the Friends group, the Friends citywide organization, had a rally in front of the main library at 19th and Vine. And before that rally, they invited for the first time the people from each of the 11 endangered libraries that were slated for closure. So we all showed up and for the first time met each other. So they facilitated that. They set up that meeting, and then we were thinking we should all continue meeting, and then outside agitators, outside, were thinking the same thing, like, yeah, what can they do to help, you know, galvanize this more as a movement, you know? And then people in the different branches were just really receptive, so...
Yeah, I would like to make a comment real quick on the. I've been hearing this a lot this weekend about the 501c3 status and organizing. One thing I've been noticing, I do a lot of fundraising for my organization, is that for some reason there's been a lot less, grants being released out for, you know, 501c3s like after school programs and things of that such, and a lot more grants out, you know, open to people for organizing. A foundation I can name is Hill Snowden. They fund us, fund the majority of our advocacy actions. So it's like, we're kind of getting funded through several sources to make sure these things happen. And I just want to recommend that, you know, the people here go search for these these funding sources. One site real quick, foundationcenter.com. I get a lot of email updates on what foundations are funding these, I guess, social and civil movements.
Well, I'm
going to
question.
Go ahead.
Well, and the same thing about funding, too. Like, we haven't even asked, but people have been having fundraisers for us all over the city, so we just get, like, money given to us.
But haven't really used a lot. I mean,
we haven't used it.
Just to make T-shirts, basically, right?
Yeah.
It's not about the money right now.
And I think to get a few people down there, too.
To the transportation?
No, it wasn't.
No, we didn't use it for that?
I have a question for the algebra project. Basically, can you talk more about how you get students involved? I'm sure it's a big challenge. You know, most high school students have a lot of other things in their mind besides organizing. So what's worked, what hasn't, what lessons have you learned?
Well, it's pretty interesting because, you know, almost like 100% of the algebra project students are in school. Well, of course, they're students in school. Members are in school. So, like, as far as the tutoring aspect and the advocacy portion, you're talking to the people at your school. And, of course, it's tough when the organization funding and all that, so it's, you can't hire as many students who want to be hired, and you can't hire as many organizers who want to be hired. But it's still, and there's a challenge just getting people involved as far as the activism, because there's so many things that grab people's attention away from, you know, freedom. So, but what works is being consistent and letting the message, let your feelings be known. So when I was in high school, for example, I would get up in front of class every day, almost every day, and let people know what's going on. And you may find students and peers who may appear like, you know, forget about that, nothing's going to happen, and then they be the ones at the rally. So, like, advocates who I work with, because every year there's new students coming in becoming organizers, and it's easy to be discouraged, but you gotta, you know, keep doing it. And sometimes it's small, sometimes it's larger, but consistency is important.
Yeah, I wanted to add on to what he was saying real quick. Another thing is, I don't want to say that the strategy is dead. It's still a great strategy. The good old strategy, word of mouth and talking with people, it works quite well. But I found to be an even better strategy was building intimate relationships. Show that I relate to your problems. inviting youth to events that may discuss these issues. And when they show up, I'm not just at the event and they're at the event. I'm at the event with them and they're at the event with me. You know, when I have my meal at that event, I may eat that meal with that person, or I might invite a couple of friends over the weekend. You know, I may cook, you know, got my own apartment now, you know, great chef, but, you know, invite people over and have a meal and we talk about it and, you know, we hang out. Or I might invite a certain group of students to, I don't know, the All-You-Can-Eat Buffet or go to the movies or, you know, hang with them at their after-school program. Or I run a tutoring program, I invite them to my tutoring program, and as I'm, you know, teaching them the math skills they may need, I socialize with them also, you know. And there's a lot of people out there in need of things. I have a lot of connections with community-based organizations, and I can help them find what they need and, you know, get these social services for them or whatever. So that's really, really helpful.
So we're going to have to wrap up because we actually have to be out of this building by 7:30, like, all the way down. So we could probably take one more question, but...
Hi. I was curious from both groups to know what, if any, input you've had from, like, teachers and teachers' unions and stuff like that, if it's about some kind of, like, significant fightbacks developing, particularly on the West Coast and stuff like that, around budget cuts and that kind of thing. And like, you know, there's so many ways that they go after teachers, and it's, you know, schools are also someone's workplace, so I'm curious about it from that angle. It's like, you know, using charter schools to smash teachers' unions, and now they're trying to use like merit pay and stuff like that. And I feel like it's time that we actually have merit pay, you know, for CEOs and people like that who wreck our entire economy, because then they would be getting negative money and maybe some of that would be funneled back into our schools. But for teachers, it's just ridiculous to I think, put that kind of thing on the table. So I'm just interested what people's experiences have been.
Well, with the teachers, as far as our organization, we deal with education, of course. Teachers distribute that knowledge to the youth. And basically, we organize with the promise that the students need knowledge and somebody's going to have to give it to them. If, you know, if you can support this movement, it, you know, it definitely should be a very high demand for, you know, very good and experienced teachers that's, you know, that's here every day. And a sad thing is is that a lot of teachers invest a lot, even money out of their pockets on the students. And I'm still working on a movement to reimburse these teachers, you know, that's being laid off or something like that, to, you know, get them paid back. You know, that's a statement I usually make at a lot of, like, school board meetings or something like that. So that's how I usually try to get the teacher support.
I just want to do one thing. I have a picture of the where me and my grandson made the front page of the Philadelphia Inquirer when we was doing our rally and all that kind of stuff. Can you guys see? That's me and my grandson. Made the front page, of course, the front of the Philadelphia Inquirer. So I will always cherish that.
Would anyone mind if I took a picture of the room for our blog?
Sure.
No. Some of our most active members were teachers, but more like, we had a Montessori school that was super involved. They actually marched all their students did a march from their school to the library that they would have to use that was 2 miles away, which was really incredible. Little tiny ones doing this march. But we haven't. I don't know. We've done some outreach to different schools, but haven't. I don't think their teachers' union is signed on.
Okay. In some of the neighborhood branch rallies, we would contact the schools near the library, and a lot of the principals and teachers and came out to the rally, to the individual branch rallies that we had to save the schools, and continue to publicize our activities. Like, if we presented them with flyers, one time we had for our I Love My Library Day, we got 2,000 flyers to distribute to the principals of the 4 schools near my local branch. They all distributed to the kids, and we had like hundreds of, like 400 kids come out to the I Love My Library. And they signed this big heart to the mayor, you know, I Love My Library. They all signed it and gave it to him.
To be pretty cool. These are just copies, if anyone wants, of the people's indictment, and has our blog on there too. But I know we have to get out of here.